Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I am well, thanks. Thanks for coming up.
My pleasure.
Now, you were a Democrat before you filed as an independent in June, and that came after a rather nasty and public fight between you and the state Democratic Party earlier in the year. Now, you accused the party of keeping you out of the primary process, a claim the party disputes. So would you be running in this race if you felt you'd been given a fair shake in the primary?
Yeah, I mean, I'm running in this race not because of what happened with the Democratic Party. They litigated against me. They tried to keep me off the ballot twice. I won 4-1 with two Democrats voting in my favor both times. I'm running to offer an independent option to New Hampshire voters who've only had these same two options for a decade. And I think, you know, we fired each of them, you know, every 2 years. They're hyper-partisan. They don't represent what the district stands for.
Well, let's talk about many of your positions. They're based on Democratic principles. You support a $15 an hour federal minimum wage and a woman's right to choose. You back Wall Street regulation and breaking up the big banks. You've endorsed Bernie Sanders in the primary. You know, to win as an independent, you're going to need some GOP support as well. So what are some issues that where you might align more with Republican principles?
Yeah, so I am for cutting taxes for all Granite Staters who make $75,000 or less. In fact, for those who make $37,450 or less, the lowest two tax brackets, I think they should pay zero in federal income taxes. By putting money, returning money to taxpayers at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum, you actually drive a huge amount of consumer demand, which is going to result in growth. You know, growth has been anemic at 1% in the country. I have a business background. I'm the only candidate in this race who's signed the front and backs of checks and balanced budgets for a multimillion-dollar company for 10 years. So I think that, you know, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to reducing the national debt and the national deficit, national security, those are areas where, you know, I have strong Republican bona fides. I did work for a Republican member of Congress for 4 years. So I've worked on both sides of the aisle. And when it comes to Bernie Sanders, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Bernie Sanders, but I endorsed him because I believe that he was honest, and I believe that he shared my belief that we need to get money out of politics. And, you know, that's what motivated me to support him. It wasn't about partisanship.
Well, let's talk about health care. We learned this week that premiums for plans on the Affordable Care Act are set to increase by some 25% this year. Now, you said that you buy your insurance on the exchange, so you have some personal stake in this. What needs to happen to fix this law?
Yeah. So, you know, my two opponents, one of them, Carol Shea Porter, will just say how proud she was to have voted for the ACA, and Frank Inta will repeal it but doesn't have a plan to replace it. I have two specific plans, and, you know, the program is broken, but it's not going to get repealed. They've tried to repeal it tens and tens of times. The Supreme Court has upheld it. So we need to work with it to make it better. And what I'm going to do is first offer regional exchanges. So I want to create a New England exchange with the six New England states. That's going to increase the number of participants in the marketplace. When you increase the number of participants in the marketplace, you get more insurers playing. That lowers cost and raises quality. It also means I lost my doctor just over the border in Massachusetts, who I'd had for 15 years. Because when the exchange opened up, they said that it's a New Hampshire plan and you have to be with a doctor who's on the other side of the border. That's insane. You know, people with cancer want to be able to go to Dana-Farber, and that's the way that it should be. Second is, particularly for younger people who want a plan that's completely portable throughout the country, I would allow them to buy into Medicare if they choose. And the reason that that makes sense, and this is a combination of the regional exchanges is a Republican idea, letting people buy into Medicare is more of a Democratic idea. By letting young people buy into Medicare, they have a plan with a relatively high copay, but they have a plan that they can use anywhere in the country. And this also helps to restore solvency to Medicare without raising taxes. You know, I have a plan, you know, my minimum wage plan is not going to punish any New Hampshire small business. In fact, it protects 96% of all of the businesses in the state, because each year that we do the increase starting in 2018 to 2022, there's a 50% tax credit, not a deduction, but a tax credit for small businesses for the annual increase in the minimum wage.
So a report last week found that New Hampshire college graduates, you're talking about young people here, and I wanted to kind of get around to that. We were talking about college graduates in the state having the highest average student debt in the nation. The average here, $36,000 a student. What's your plan to address that?
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think no one in this race, I've helped thousands of students get into college and afford college. That was the business that I founded and built for 10 years. What I think we need to do, first of all, is lower the interest rate on existing and new student loans. It's insane that you can borrow a mortgage at 3.5%, but our students are being required to pay 6%, 7%, 8%. And this is really a problem that the government created when they took over the student loan program and took it out of private sector competition.
Is that a hard sell?
I don't think that's a hard sell at all. I mean, the fact of the matter is if you just returned it and opened it up to the marketplace, a mortgage, if you buy a house that you can't afford, you can go bankrupt and get rid of that mortgage. But if you're a student and you have a student loan, you can never get rid of that in bankruptcy. And so the fact of the matter is that the interest rate should match the risk. Banks want a loan to student loans because they know that there's no risk of default because there's an implicit guarantee by the government, but also you can never get rid of that debt until you die. So there's no way that we should be charging people 6, 7, 8%. The government should not be making money off of the backs of students because then it creates a disincentive for people to get education.
Okay, that talks about student loans and current debt, but what about the cost of the tuition to begin with?
Yep. So what I would like to do is increase Pell Grants. I don't believe in free college for everyone. I lived in Argentina where they have free college for everyone, and the problem there is it can create some disincentives. People can start one major, go for a couple of years, stop, do something else. What I want to do is increase Pell Grants so that middle class and working class Granite State families pay less for college tuition through Pell Grants that are based on the need of the student and the student's family.
Let's move on to immigration. There's a lot of debate about Syrian refugees. Do you support Hillary Clinton's plan to allow 65,000 Syrian refugees into the country? That would be a significant increase, obviously, from the 10,000 allowed under President Obama in the past year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a position as to exactly what the number should be. You know, I think that this is a very quickly evolving situation. I think we need to see what happens in Aleppo with that humanitarian crisis. But what I will say is my primary responsibility as the congressman from this district will be to put Americans safety first. So I don't want any immigrant to come into this country who doesn't have proper screening, and that involves in-person interviews, reviewing who their contacts have been, reviewing electronic and telephone communications to make sure that we're not putting the American people at risk by allowing in domestic terrorists.
Are we not doing that now?
We are doing that, but I want to make sure that we continue to do that and that there's proper congressional oversight of that program. I don't think that you can discriminate on people based on the country that they're coming from. I think that that's also un-American. But we do need to recognize that we're in a new and challenging world and protect American interests and protect American lives, given the incidents of domestic terrorism that we've seen.
Sean O'Connor, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.